Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
And as discussed in earlier the case on Friday, we have with us Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, to bring us the news, a different approach to the news, but an insightful look at what's really going on will help you to evaluate the events taking place. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. Well, we've got...
What are we going to be covering this morning?
Well, a lot of breaking news is going on as we speak. Even though the government has honed in on two brothers of Chechen origin to the Boston Marathon bombing, one of which is now dead in a shootout with police, it's too early to tell who the government is going to ultimately blame for this latest terrorist attack on innocent civilians. Not a few media pundits have been quick to cast suspicions on domestic terrorism from right-wing Americans, at the same time failing to acknowledge that the American right has never had anything to gain by attacking innocent civilians. These two suspects will now add significant intrigue to the story, being from the disputed and war-torn area south of Russia, which has been the source of both Islamic terror and Russian false flag terror blamed on the Chechens. There's no shortage of suspicious activities and interesting evidence in this unfolding drama. Well, that was my introduction to today's World Affairs Brief, which will be coming out shortly. There have been a lot of mistakes in reporting as this story on the Boston Marathon unfolded. The big story right after the explosions was that of numerous other unexploded bombs found around the marathon route. None of them turned out to be bombs, but rather the police picking up all the stray packages and backpacks and treating them as if they were bombs. So, there were many false claims as well. There was a posting to the Internet of a false conspiracy claim that a previous episode of The Family Guy had shown a guy sitting at a table triggering bombs to go off at the Boston Marathon by using his cell phone. In reality, it was someone cutting and pasting excerpts from the show to make it look like foreknowledge of the marathon disaster. Some even tried to merge another bogus conspiracy claim that the Sandy Hook principle, or that the Sandy Hook shooting never took place, and they merged this into the Boston Marathon tragedy by posting an old photo of the principal with a new banner placing her at the marathon. It was photoshopped and false. There was another one where someone tried to post a rant by Bill Cosby saying how tired he was of all things the government was doing. Trouble is, Cosby never wrote it. It was all falsely attributed to him, and yet it got passed around by millions on the Internet. It's very disturbing to me, Stan, that there's so many professional disinformation artists out there on the Internet spending time to create false images and fake claims aimed at conservatives who believe in conspiracy to make them look stupid when they are debunked. So whenever some claim seems to be too good to be true, beware, I tell audiences, about passing it on unless you check it out first. And there's another false theory making the rounds this morning in the wake of the Texas fertilizer plant explosion. A video that someone thinks a video where someone thinks a missile came in from the left just before the plant explodes, and I give a link to the video in today's brief. However, it is not a missile. Missiles don't have that big of a flame signature coming in. It's a great big white flash to the left, and then the whole fire-laden factory seems to explode. What I believe people are seeing in the video is the explosion beginning on the rail line. There were ammonium nitrates stored in rail cars behind the building, and the explosion starts left to right behind the smoke, and you only see the light flash bursting out from the left and gives the impression of left to right movement. But I think this video is not someone's mischief, just people jumping to the wrong conclusion. Well, this is one of the benefits that I serve as editor of the World Affairs Brief, to try to answer questions about what's good conspiracy and what's bogus. But here are the current issues of legitimate controversy in this marathon investigation. The number one is, were Boston police running a bomb exercise during the marathon race? The city of Boston says no, but witnesses say there were bomb-sniffing dogs at both the start and finish. The cops were seen manning rooftops of buildings. This is an important issue because an exercise allows for the planting of practice bombs or fake bombs, supposedly as part of the exercise. That may turn out to be real bombs, as I will explain later in this interview. The local station of Channel 15 ran this interview, which clearly contradicts the official denial that there were no exercises. It's the story of University of Mobile's cross-country coach Alistair Stevenson, who saw law enforcement officers on the roof and with bomb-sniffing dogs, and announcing to the audience that this was just a training exercise and not to be concerned. So at least there's one evidence that that the word exercise was actually heard from the mouth of police themselves. Now, I don't quite understand why the reluctance to admit that you're running an exercise, unless the placing of fake bombs of a fake bomb for training purposes turned out to be the real thing, and police don't want that connection being made. There was a similar reluctance on the part of the federal government to admit they were running a simulation of hijacked aircraft targeting the White House on September 11th, which raised no few suspicions about government foreknowledge of that tragedy. Second question, did anyone receive warnings in the marathon about an upcoming attack? CNN, perennial mouthpiece for government, reports no, but it isn't true. So far, we've uncovered two, one quite credible and the other not so credible. The first one, Rob Dew, a reporter for Infowars.com, had a brother-in-law who ran the Boston Marathon. He said that he was in a position to finish the race about the time of the bombing, but was pulled from the race by military superiors and sent to a hospital, supposedly, demanding that he be treated for dehydration, even though he said he felt fine and could have finished the race. Alex Jones compared this to Mayor Willie Brown being told by Condoleezza Rice not to fly on 9/11. Solid evidence that someone in government had foreknowledge about the impending attacks. Then there's the other story, which is from U.S. News or USA Today report about someone who says that runners picking up the packages were warned by a woman who was handing out packages that they're going to die if they participate in the event. I'm not sure I give that too much credibility, but it actually did happen.
Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, Drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel is simply laying out some of the disinformation that's been put out. And certainly, we've read the article by a United States congressman claiming this is Al-Qaeda was behind the bombing. A WorldNet Daily, Daily is very reliable, ran an article just yesterday talking about how they'd been contacted by somebody from Iranian intelligence who told them that Iran was really behind this, that they were using other proxies, other Arab terrorist organizations, but this was retaliation on the part of Iran for the fact that we had been attacking them and putting them under pressure for a long period of time. And I don't believe WorldNet Daily would intentionally publish something they didn't believe. But I don't know why anybody in Iranian intelligence would contact WorldNet Daily unless it was an organized effort at disinformation. And as Joel has pointed out from the story, that the principal of the Sandy Hook School, who was killed during the bombing, during the attack at Sandy Hook School, was actually running in the marathon race to all the other things Joel is mentioning. Somebody has gone to a great deal of effort, or a number of people have gone to a great deal of effort, to confuse this area, this whole issue. Is this a planned program of disinformation to confuse people? Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, WorldNet Daily has been beating drums of the Islamic threat for many years, and Joe Kovac, one of their reporters, is the one who gets targeted with a lot of this disinformation because they realize that he's receptive to these type of ideas about foreign terrorist threats. And that's why I think, Saudi intelligence really is U.S. CIA. And so it's kind of a feedback loop going through Saudis and back to WorldNet Daily, taking advantage of their being duped about the phony war on terror. So WorldNet Daily is not very reliable when it comes to the Islamic threat because they hype this, as well as, any of the other neocons in our society. But let's talk about the forensic evidence of the blast, because this is what's going to be my primary focus in whether or not these two suspects that the FBI is going to blame the bombing on, the Chechen brothers, are in fact the real perpetrators or patsies. First of all, there's a low-grade explosive that was used that gave off a red-orange flame, grayish-white smoke. It's believed to be gunpowder at this point, not C4 or Semtex, which are plastic explosives. They give off a bright white light signature in large quantities, and no light flash at all in small quantities in black smoke. In any case, it does look as if this was done in a pressure cooker with black powder lined with ball bearings and nails and other things. The most important evidence from the crime scene, the forensic evidence, is the remnants of a black tag with a white tag, square tag on top, and some light-colored striping on the shoulder straps, black shoulder straps with white colored stripping or striping on the straps, in line with the strap. This was found in the debris, leading to the conclusion the pressure cooker was hidden in this kind of a back-to-back. And in today's World Affairs Brief, which people can get copies of by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, there are pictures of this backpack that was part of the explosion. Triggering the blast, of course, is not as easy as putting a bomb out, making a bomb out of gunpowder. You know, simpler way is to use a crude timer in there. More sophisticated way is to use a manipulation of cell phone electronics. But that's pretty sophisticated and difficult to pull off without modifying the cell phone itself. And so if these two brothers, supposedly the trigger men, they would have to have significant expertise in being able to do this with cell phones. Police were out checking cell phone calls were made at the exact time the bomb went off, trying to see if this was how it was triggered. Well, the interesting thing about the suspects is that there were some private people going through all of the publicly made available films and videos of the surroundings of the blast and the people that were there milling around looking for people with backpacks. It could match the description of somebody dropping something off. And also in the brief, I talk about the Infowars.com listing of videos and private efforts someone did to decide who was there. And in the process, they end up finding several people with large, bulky backpacks. In fact, about 20% of the crowd has backpacks on. But most of these normal backpacks are runners' backpacks with teardrop-shaped packs that are only about half full. But there are a few visible backpacks that look huge, like their owners are headed out for a three-day campout rather than just a trip downtown. And some of those large backpacks are attached to military guys in big bulky jackets, short haircuts, and wearing similar military-style pants and boots. They have large bulky jackets on and very large full backpacks that are of particular interest. Both look like their oversized jackets concealed body armor beneath. One is wearing a dark ball cap with a white Punisher skull on it. That's a logo for Kraft International and also a logo used by Navy SEALs and Special Army Forces, kind of a skull and crossbones without the crossbones. After the explosion, two of these men are seen in the middle of the street near ambulances and first responders talking on cell phones but not moving to assist or help as normal security guys would be expected to. What's in the oversized backpacks both are wearing? If they were private security contractors and part of the police bomb exercise, you would expect them to be undoing their packs and bringing out first aid kits or helping the bomb squads. But instead, nothing. These are the kinds of people police should be questioning or at least give the public an explanation about them. Some of the pictures sent to InfoWar and also emphasized in the New York Post focus on two young men with a unique white ball cap and sunglasses who carry a large bulging pack. In a subsequent picture, the guy in the white hat does not have his pack on. I will note, however, that the markings on the exploded backpack, the white label on top and the white strips of cloth on the straps, do not match the pack this guy is wearing. In a subsequent news story, it was revealed that the white ball cap guy is an innocent teen who came forward afterward, seeing his picture and willing to talk about it. Well, the markings on the exploded backpack could, however, match the white square patch on the packs of the military guys standing around watching, as well as the pack of a bearded guy in a blue coat who is seen in the videos, whose pack is visible in a few pictures hanging off his arm. Two of the military types can be seen with their backpacks on after the bombing, but a third with similar pants and shoes can be seen near the finish line without a pack, holding some kind of handheld electronic device like an oversized remote control. So all of these things are very interesting speculation, Stan, and it shows that it's very strange now the FBI came down and focuses on only two and says disregard all other analysis of anybody else seen in the videos. Why should they disregard? Because one thing that I'm going to put out here is that when we look at the videos of the two Chechen suspects that the FBI is focused exclusively on, one of which is now dead, and the other is now in custody, or not in custody, but is under attack. The FBI says that the one with the white hat, the one who's still, you know, being hunted for, dropped his backpack at the location where one of the bombs went off. This is not the same white hat that I referred to previously. This is a white hat that's worn backwards. And the other one that I was talking about with the long bill was wearing it forward. The trouble I have with the FBI fingering of these two suspects is that the backpack this guy is wearing in the video that is supposedly dropped off at the place where the bomb went off is a white backpack with some black trim, which doesn't match the picture of the black bag blown open at one site. Even a speculated gray or brown heap near a trash can shown in the other explosion does not match the white backpack. The other suspect, his brother, shown in the FBI release, has a dark pack on, but it does not have lighter stripes on the shoulder straps or a white badge in the middle of the top handle. So neither pack that these two brothers are wearing matches the exploded backpack that is part of the evidence. The FBI spokesman, strangely, as I mentioned, cautioned the public not to rely on any other pictures or analysis, but only search for these two. This gives me the indication that there is some patsy involved in this, and they're only focusing on this. Now, as I said, CBS News just reported that the two bombing suspects are brothers ages 19 and 20, legally permanent residents of Chechen origin. This could really put an interesting spin on things. Even worse, the remaining brother with the backwards white cap is sporting a Hitler-style mustache. I don't know if the government's going to make anything of it, but it might lead to claims of a neo-Nazi plot. Virtually every neo-Nazi group exposed by the FBI and the Southern Poverty Law Conference has been either started by or infiltrated and controlled by FBI agent provocateurs, the most prominent example being the now extinct Aryan Nations in Idaho. Well, in the brief, I also cover the fact that early on there was a young Saudi who was taken into custody. This has provided a tempting conspiracy theory for the Internet, especially since the guy was being quickly deported out of the country upon demand of the Saudi embassy. Well, the special relationship that explains this kind of action by our government, you know, arresting someone, letting him go, and then deporting him, is a deal our government made with the Saudis at the formation of OPEC. In essence, always provide us oil and accept only U.S. dollars for payment, and we'll protect your regime from overthrow and cover for your indiscretions. The Saudis, in return, have become hostage to U.S. protection by acceding to all demands of the U.S. to fund whatever radical Islamists the U.S. is backing under the umbrella of Al-Qaeda. It is little wonder that most of the protected terrorists in the U.S. brought in to do the dirty deed on 9/11 were Saudis, as far as we know. Some of the names may have been false, since some are reportedly still alive of the original hijackers. Allowing a young Saudi to leave is also strangely reminiscent of the U.S. allowing bin Laden's relatives to all leave the U.S. right after 9/11, when no other U.S. citizen was allowed to fly. But there's a major problem with this neocon analysis, always using Al-Qaeda as the enemy. Al-Qaeda is a U.S.-controlled black operation group at the top levels and has been ever since the CIA created and funded the Mujahideen through the Operation Gladio B during the Cold War. That doesn't mean every Al-Qaeda terrorist knows who funds and controls them. Leaders do hire actual terrorists to do controlled terror operations, but you never really know who's working for the CIA or ignorant of its control, even whom the CIA prosecutes. At this stage of the U.S. foreign war on terror, it is a bit dangerous for the U.S. to come out and blame this on an Islamist terrorist, as Watson analyzes in InfoWars. He says, given the fact that the Obama administration has spent more than $500 million and the CIA is shipping weapons to rebels in Syria who are Islamist and related to Al-Qaeda, the notion that one of these militants would carry out an attack on U.S. soldier would be extremely damaging to the White House. Well, then I addressed the question, who might get the blame? With the two main subjects being Chechen, this blame could be shifted to any number of movements, from the American right, if the two brothers turn out to be neo-Nazis, or even to the Russians, because of their involvement in Chechen terror. This could be spent in a number of ways. Some news outlets are speculating these two are Muslims and that they had military training before they came here. But that's unlikely, since they would have been young teens if they'd been here 10 years. Those kinds of statements indicate a proclivity to point the blame overseas. But one thing is for sure, they've been under the training of someone since coming to the U.S. They didn't just hatch a plan like this on their own, especially given the degree of firepower they used against police in the chase last night. One report said they were using hand grenades, which are not easy to come by unless you have sources in the black markets. There's probably a wider conspiracy here, Stan. I suspect that these two are patsies brought into the scheme and set up to take the blame. If they both turn up dead, we might never know the truth. Dead men don't tell tales.
Michael Lee, Harvey Oswald, and Jack Ruby.
Well, sadly, this incident will only perpetuate the government's excuse to use terror to
hold
keep
the thought,
America.
Joel. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and then how they can get the excellent books you've written on strategic relocation, on building a secure room in your home, and preparing for what is very obviously the very difficult times that lie ahead. Go right ahead, Joel.
Thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a free sample issue, as I mentioned, by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. My other website, joelskousen.com, has images and descriptions of my three major books I've written on the preparedness field. Top seller is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. The largest book is The Secure Home, everything from A to Z that you need to know about securing your home and making it self-sufficient through generator, solar, and other technologies. And the latest book is the fourth edition of the High Security Shelter book, How to Do a Safe Room in an Existing Basement, Full Architectural Plans. All three of these books are available from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, if they're among our best-selling books. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, thank you. As I was mentioning at the end of this article here about the marathon bombing problem, this incident will only perpetuate the government's excuse to use terror to keep Americans believing that they have to keep giving up essential liberties in order to be secure. Obama even said so this week, warning that there will be other terrorist attacks when he spoke at a news conference. Strangely, many could not help but notice that he never looked directly at the audience. He looked down, sideways, up, never looking forward at the audience, a textbook sign of someone who knows he's lying. Other liberals in public schools are also pushing this deadly and evil doctrine. Aaron Harvey, a parent in Florida, was outraged when he found out a fourth grade teacher had invited a liberal attorney to his son's class in public school, and both had instructed each of the students to write down the following words: I am willing to give up some of my constitutional rights in order to be safer or more secure. The father knew immediately that his father didn't come up with that statement, that he was propagandized about that, and he was outraged. Well, whatever the official investigation comes up with in Boston, I believe the long-term effect of this senseless and evil bombing will be more money and more personnel thrown at Homeland Security to match their new $4 billion headquarters in D.C. Department of Homeland Security is destined to be our biggest internal police force and threat to liberty. We may now see a much higher law enforcement presence at major sporting events and marathon races. It will slowly, in my opinion, acclimate Americans into accepting an all-surveilling, show-me-your-ID society. That's my basic conclusion. At this point, I'm sure I'll be covering this issue next week as well on the World Affairs Brief, so I'd like to encourage listeners to subscribe. The next story is the bipartisan background check bill goes down in defeat. This news has rocked the establishment media, which was expecting to at least this much of the gun control agenda to pass. They had to stoop to the unusual or the usual trick of getting a Republican, Pat Toomey, to push what appeared to be a more moderate version of the background checks, but it didn't fool very many. Alarm warnings were sent out by dozens of gun groups, and Americans responding with dire warnings to members on both sides of the aisle that they would pay with their electoral lives if they voted for this deceptive amendment. I'm surprised myself at the defeat, Stan, but I don't think the victory will last forever. We could see another gun tragedy created to push this along. But for now, it looks like the gun grabbers at the federal level may be getting nothing out of Newtown. In reality, the amendment, of course, that was defeated would have done much more than simply restrict background checks to gun shows and internet sales. It would have applied to any transaction that was advertised in any way other than word of mouth. That and other bad fine print language was what killed this amendment. But this is an issue the powers that be won't give up on. They'll keep making little changes and making new proposals. That's why Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid switched his vote to no, voting against the amendment at the last minute. That gives him procedural authority to call up the measure again for another vote if they, quote, fix it or twist other arms into changing their vote.
And I think every American should understand they used the tragedy at Sandy Hook to justify gun control. And this coordinated effort by the entire media And you never heard the parents of the children who died at Sandy Hook saying, look, this had nothing to do with Sydney guns. The problem was that there was nobody with a gun at Sandy Hook School to defend the children. Certainly these children need to be defended. We need to have people there at the schools with weapons to defend the children. You never heard that on major media because the media is tightly controlled and they use it to manipulate what the American people think and believe. Go right ahead.
Well, we haven't seen it yet happen, but it could be that the Boston Marathon suspects could get related to gun control as well. If there was a background check issue that would have caught them, this may spur a revote on this. Because of the Boston tragedy, we might also see major restrictions against reloading gunpowder being available to public without a license. If these suspects get labeled as pro-gun nuts, it would energize the anti-gun lobby and turn this defeat around back to victory. Well, Obama vowed not to give up on seeking more gun restrictions, implying that he's going to try to take revenge at the polls in 2014. Quote, you've got to send the right people to Washington, he said. That requires strength and it requires persistence. I see this as just round one. Sooner or later, we're going to get this right. The memories of these children demand it. Well, that's demagoguery for you, coming from the president. As I said before, this is one of those things the powers that be will not take no for an answer. Also possible are new executive orders restricting importation of full-capacity magazines, military surplus gun parts, military surplus ammunition, and non-sporting guns. Obama warned, of course, anything that's, you know, assault weapons considered non-sporting. Obama warned that he would do this if his legislation didn't pass, and BuzzFeed.com says it's coming very soon. Quote, Vice President Biden told White House allies in the gun control fight on Thursday, that was yesterday, that President Obama will be announcing new executive actions on gun violence in the days after the Senate voted down a gun violence bill. On a conference call with, quote, stakeholders, Biden told gun control advocates that the fight is not over and that eventual action on gun control will come. Press were not invited to the conference call. A participant, however, provided BuzzFeed with access. In other gun news, it looks like the state of Missouri is betraying concealed weapon permit holders to the Department of Homeland Security. According to one news source, the ColumbiaTribune.com, Missouri's database of concealed weapons permit was twice given to federal authorities. State Missouri Highway Patrol was questioned for nearly an hour this morning by the Senate Appropriations Committee after he revealed to Chairman Kirk Schaefer yesterday that his agency had turned over data to Department of Homeland Security. The delivery of the information to federal authorities has become a huge issue for lawmakers since they began raising questions about new driver's license procedures. Apparently, they keep a database with your driver's license.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply in Fort Collins is proud of our military. We thank you and your families for the sacrifice you've made. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. May God bless America. This message from Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply, 3507 East Mulberry Street in Fort Collins, the full-line gun store and indoor shooting range, the largest gun safe dealer in Colorado. For information, call 472-5600. That's 472-5600 or visit rmss.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan here in the final segment. Joel, you're there.
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead.
Next subject is the new immigration bill. It's really a monster, 844 pages long. It was introduced on Friday. And one of the problems is that the only hearing that's scheduled for this is today, and this would take approximately a day and a half of full-speed reading. It is just incredible. It covers everything. You know, you cannot believe that any of these Senate sponsors, you know, the name should really make you worry here. Senator Schumer is the main sponsor, along with Senator McCain, Senators Durbin, Graham, Menendez, Rubio, Bennett, and Flake. Shame on Arizona for having two senators selling them out on immigration amnesty. But Representative Lamar Smith correctly commented that this immigration bill is far worse than we thought. It's far worse than I ever thought, because not only does it give amnesty to everybody, including their relatives, it also changes the entire immigration system, making it easier for a permanent inflow of new immigrants legally into the United States. Lamar Smith says it's hard to believe, but the Senate immigration bill is far worse than we thought. Despite assurances, the border is not secured before almost everyone is in the country illegally is given amnesty. The bill guarantees that there will be a rush across the border to take advantage of this massive amnesty. And believe me, Stan, it's already happening. The Border Patrol is reporting thousands more per day coming in. Representative Smith says the Senate immigration bill shreds current immigration laws, and the Senate proposal offers amnesty to far more illegal immigrants than we thought. In addition to most of the illegal 11 million illegal immigrants already in the country, and I think that's grossly underestimated, I think it's 20 million, he says the bill offers to legalize the relatives of illegal immigrants outside the U.S. and even those who have already been deported back home.
And you know, they lied to us in 1986. Ronald Reagan lied. He said there's only a million immigrants who are going to bring this in. We will never do this again. We will never make the illegal immigrants legal. We will secure our borders. And they lied to us in 1986, and they're lying now because they want a multiracial, multilingual society to merge into this multiracial, multilingual world government that they're putting together, and they're betraying the American people. And why would anybody believe anything that comes out of Washington, D.C.? They consistently lie. We always forget. Nobody's talking about what happened in 86 when they promised there would never be another amnesty.
Well, this bill is a dramatic expansion for the country's workers' verification system called E-Verify. It requires DNA sampling. It's going to be a national voter ID or national ID card, basically, anyone who gets a job. So this is really going to increase, you know, some pet projects the globalists have wanted to get into U.S. law, all in the name of getting immigration reform. Unfortunately, you know, the problem with this, as opposed to the gun control bills, there are a lot of Republicans that have signed on to this and are sponsoring this. That's because Republicans have been sold on the idea that if they pander to Hispanics, they can get their vote in the next election. But it's not true. Most will still vote Democrat. A big part of the new law is a whole new classification system, including blue cards, not just green cards, but blue cards for agricultural workers. The bill would make U.S. Change the name of the Immigration services to Office of Citizenship and New Americans. This shows what they're really intending. Whose chief of the INS would now help direct the major changes proposed in this legislation. It also creates a task force of cabinet members and other high-level administration officials. It creates a nonprofit corporation called the United States Citizenship Foundation that will solicit donations and provide monetary assistance for those seeking immigration status. So we're even going to subsidize this process. And the E-Verify system is now going to lock in everything, including farmers, and require that they have computer access whenever they hire anybody. It's a problem because a lot of them do this out in the field on a temporary day-to-day basis. As I said, it requires photo matching biometric components to the new ID card to get a job. Other provisions would require potentially contentious regulations, including a proposed pilot program for states and local government to fund, quote, new immigration councils. The grants will total $100 million over the next few years. I mean, this is just incredible, Stan, what they are doing here. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's amazing how on television all across America we always see Rubio, Senator Rubio, over and over and over again. He's being pushed by the media. When was the last time you saw Senator Paul, you know, on the evening news? Go right ahead.
Well, it's very interesting that Time magazine just came out with their survey of the 100 most influential Americans, and it put Senator Rand Paul in the list. Well, they should have Ron Paul on the list as the 100. I mean, Rand Paul isn't when he near as influential as his father has been. In fact, they're even going to put Rand on 7 of the rotating front page covers of Time magazine. It's clear to me that they're really trying to reward Rand Paul for the compromises that he has made in hoping to continue to snooker the Tea Party into thinking that he's our champion. And they're basically trying to influence him in the other direction. Now, I do not think that Rand Paul has sold out to them, but he does live under this illusion that if you give them something, that they'll give us more and that we'll have more influence than my father had. But unfortunately, it's not really true. I think they're just playing him along, and we'll see more of him in the 2016. But I can guarantee you they don't want him to run for president. They're playing him along, I think they're going to push for Rubio to be the presidential candidate for the Republicans.
And he just phonies the $3 bill.
Yes, Rubio's taken many neocon positions, has spoken before Brookings and many other of the globalist organizations that are pushing him. You know, they never would allow Ron Paul with this anti-war message to speak before those major forums. So this is a rigged system that we're dealing with. It's also rigged. The attack on gold. There's been a tremendous decline in the price of gold and silver.
I'm afraid we're out of time, Joe. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for your analysis.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices. You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley would like to take this time to remind everyone, a blood donation truly is a gift of life that a healthy individual can give to others in their community who are sick or injured. In a one-hour time, a person can donate one unit of blood that can be separated into four individual components to help save multiple lives. This message is from Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley. Give the gift of life. Give blood.
And we do hope you enjoyed the conversation with Joel Skousen. Of course, he does most of the talking, but you have to understand that all of the evidence suggests that somehow what we saw at Boston Marathon is part of a program to justify ever more government control over our lives. We don't know the full story yet, but we do know that somebody has coordinated a tremendous disinformation program. I mean, how could the principal of the Sandy Hook school who was dead be running in the race? Why would anybody go to all the length to show pictures of her there at the race? You know, the Boston Marathon race, this is all phony. They're playing games with your mind. Why would be feeding information supposedly from Iranian intelligence to WorldNet Daily that Iran was behind it? Congressman writing an article that Al-Qaeda was behind the Boston Marathon bombing. This is all planned disinformation. So there'll be so much disinformation, you can't see clearly what's going on. Well, if you want to understand what's going on today, you have to know the past, because those who do not understand history cannot understand the present. There is no question at all that what happened on September 11, 2011 was a government-controlled operation. You can go back and read our newsletters at that time. How do we know that it was government-controlled? Because building number 7 was a controlled demolition. Go up on the Internet, go to Google, type in Building 7 Destruction World Trade Center. Watch as the center of the building collapses, and then the base of the building collapses. A typical controlled demolition. They killed 3,000 people because they wanted to get us into a war in Afghanistan and Iraq. And how would you get the American people to go along with it? You had to have an incident. And what happened with the Boston Marathon was an incident. We don't know all the details, but we do know that it has all the marks of simply another one of these incidents to justify giving up more of our freedom for security. Well, if you'd like to join our effort to educate the American people and help us support the 50 stations and outlets we have every single week, well, we hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or certainly subscribe to our newsletter or get our products, or if you have a product you'd like to advertise with us, whatever you'd like to do to help, why you'd become part of our effort to educate the American people. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our radio programs. Remember, we do 4 hours of, 5 hours of talk radio every day, and you can get the other 4 hours there at my website, either live or archived. And we have some fascinating guests. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll watch the DVDs, you'll read our newsletters, especially the older ones that will take you for all of the incidents going back to the mid-1990s. And the analysis on them looking back, I think, is excellent. And when we look at World Trade Center, it was obviously a contrived issue. We look at the bombing, the Oklahoma City bombing. And why, of course, Timothy McVeigh had told his sister, Jennifer, that he was working for a special forces team involved in illegal activity. That's covered in a book called OK Bomb, written by Jim Keefe, who died under very mysterious circumstances. The man who wrote the book, OK Bomb, where they quote what Timothy told his sister about being involved with a special forces unit. Jim Keefe died under mysterious circumstances. Shortly before, his publisher died under mysterious circumstances. Shortly before, his wife died under similar circumstances, go to Google, type it in, find it too. Join us in the subject program. Bye. Until Monday, Lord be with you.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse.